Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed, encouraged, and motivated to walk out the gospel as you listen to this latest Equip session.
So I was going to talk to them about hearing and doing, like the relationship between the two things. And as I began to think about hearing and doing, I started thinking that some people may not, especially when I was thinking about the context of talking to youth, may not know even that they hear or how to hear from the Lord. We're not going to talk in detail about that, but I am going to talk about that for a little bit. What I really want to do is just share with you the things that the Lord has been saying to me. It's like one of my very favorite things to do is I have a couple of friends. Actually, if you wind up being one of my friends, what we're going to spend most of our time doing is going back and forth about what the Lord's been saying to us. Like, I'm not like super spiritual or anything. I'm kind of just a normal dude, but I do love talking about what the Lord's up to. Like, that just kind of gets me worked up. So anyway, as I was praying about tonight, there were 100 different things we could do. You know, we could have just prayed all night long, which would have been really awkward for y'all because I'm not good at that. Like, I'm good at praying, but I'm not good at praying in front of people. Like, I was like, if I'm in charge, probably not going to do that, right? And we could have done testimony service. There are so many crazy testimonies happening right now. Like, there are people being healed, people being who we thought were dead being brought back to life. And I'm sure that you'll hear this testimony. I don't want to get on any. Yeah, you can give the Lord a hand. You'll hear the testimony soon. I want to steal somebody's thunder. That's somebody else's testimony, but it's happening. The Lord's doing a work. We've been talking about being a house of miracles, and you are, and we are. The Lord is doing a work, and we get to be part of it. I decided that I just wanted to share with you guys for a little bit. I'm going to kind of steal from Pastor Josh. We're going to have like a family talk. So we have family talks at my house, and sometimes when we have family talks, it's when things get real serious. That's not tonight, right? I rarely will stand up here and be like, things are serious, guys. If we had popcorn, I would throw it at you right now. We would just eat popcorn and talk. But I wanted to have a moment to just share with you guys what the Lord's been saying to me. I've been hanging out in the book of James lately, which is kind of funny because James always reminds me of my dad. So when I was a kid, my dad was my pastor, and his name is James. But the reason why it reminds me of my dad really is because my dad, like, I grew up in an era when you got spankings, right? I got spankings when I was a kid. And so every time I read the book of James, I feel like I'm getting a spanking, like, from the book of James. So whenever I read the book of James, it always makes me think of my dad because his name is James and because they both give me spankings. And so I'm not giving out any spankings tonight. That is not what I'm going to do. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with what I believe the Lord is saying to me for me. I want to encourage you, too, that I have found that often when you share what the Lord is saying to you, oftentimes it'll line up with what he's saying to me. Like, sometimes maybe Andy's like, bro, this is what the Lord's saying to me. And I'll be like, bro, that's what the Lord's saying to me. And there's a confirmation. So I want to encourage you that when you feel like the Lord is talking to you, write it down. You've heard me say that. Like, I have apps that I use. If you want to know what app, I'll tell you. There's this thing that they invented a long time ago. It's called paper. You can write on it. I know it's weird for like a certain, it's like I still use paper. I'm in that in between. Like, I like to use an app, but I also like to touch paper. I like paper. So if you don't know what that is, we can talk about it after service. It's just, but anyway. So really, when we talk about hearing and doing, you know, I think about James 1:22. And I'm going to read a couple of versions of this. This is the NLT. You all know I really use the NLT because on the Bible app, that dude's got the best voice. Like, if you listen to him read the Bible to you, it is the voice that you want to hear. That's the reason I use the NLT. But I'm going to read it to you. But don't just listen to God's word. But you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. The Passion Translation says it this way, which I actually kind of like this. It's a little more poetic. Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let the word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. Like, it's literally poetry in motion when you do what you hear the Father say. Yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I felt whenever I read it. I was like, what? So I wanted you to take a second And this may be easier for some of you than others. It doesn't matter. We're all on this journey, right? We're all on this journey trying to become more like Jesus. I hope that's what we're here to do, right? We're all at different places. So I want you to take a second and ask yourself, what's the Lord been saying to me? Maybe you've never asked yourself that question. And you know what? That's okay. There was a time in my life when I had never asked myself that question. But what's the Lord been saying? I would encourage you, if you thought of something, write it down. If you don't have paper, like go straight junior high and write it on your hand. No offense to anyone who still does that as an adult. But also, I would encourage you to find people to share what the Lord's saying with. I can tell you, I know I've talked to you, but I always love talking about my friends, right? I love talking about my friends because God has put people in your life to help you become the fullest expression of who you're supposed to be, right? Sometimes these people you don't like, but they're there and they will help you grow into who you're supposed to be if you're always willing to learn, always willing to grow, always willing always willing to be more like him. But I would say I had a friend, his name's Corey. He does not go to church anymore. He moved to Vegas. And I remember we would talk almost every day, like almost every day for a season. And we would always do this thing where we would say, tell me what Jesus is saying. And so we would just talk for hours about what Jesus has been saying. It's important. You know, we talk about accountability partners. We talk about, but the reality is that you need people in your life who are ready and willing to talk about what the Lord's saying to them. Sometimes you may be more experienced at this than them. And honestly, at that time in my life with Corey, he was more experienced than I. But I learned that the Lord does want to talk to us. So tonight I decided to spend a little time talking about what the Lord's been saying to me. But first I realize as I become a pastor on staff, like you guys know, I'm relatively new to this. I've been on staff for almost 11 months here. And I'm learning all the stuff that you're supposed to do when you're a pastor. Some stuff I don't want to learn. But nobody's teaching me except for the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit's like, don't say. I've learned a lot. Really what you learn most is what not to say. Like that's the number one thing I am learning. Shut up. Like that's the number one thing that you learn whenever you become a pastor. That's pastor class 101. Just shut up. And so I'm getting better at that. My wife may not agree, but I feel like I don't talk as much. You guys may question that, but right now I feel like I don't talk as much. It's interesting that over time, the more that I've gotten used to how the Father speaks to me, I can recognize his voice in others. So the reason I want to talk about this just for a minute, because so it's just easy for me to say the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit told me, the Father said. But if you don't have a point of context, you're like, wait, God talks to you? And so I don't want to make the assumption that we all just sit around talking to God and hearing from God. But I want you to know that you can. Like he's talking to you, whether you know it or not, he's actually talking. I love it. Like I said, whenever I hear somebody talk about what the Holy Spirit's saying to them and it reminds me of how I hear the Father. Like I often can hear somebody saying, and the Holy Spirit said this, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like that's how he talks to me. He often talks to me like a daddy, right? He talks to me in a way that my dad's a great, great man. I love my dad, but he never talked to me like the Holy Spirit talks to me. It's like this beautiful correction, this beautiful, encouraging, like, let's go this way. Like, you want to do this, but I think if you just go this or shut up. Like, that's another thing that he says. And so I think it's important to note that as you learn his voice, you also will get a clearer picture of what's not his voice. And honestly, I might say that that's at least equally important to know that's not my daddy. I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day. Ike is another guy you'll hear me talk about. He's one of my very best friends. We've been friends for, we were doing the math, almost 30 years. He was one of the first people that I lived with when I first moved to Springfield. And we were talking about this. And I said, you know, it would be similar to, I know Ike very well. Like, we are brothers. And it'd be like someone in this room saying, I heard Ike say this. And I'd be like, that don't sound like Ike. Like, I've known Ike for a long time. I don't think he would say that. As you get to know the voice of your father, there'll be times when people say, the Holy Spirit says, and you'll be like, that don't sound like that. That don't sound like my daddy. Like, I never heard him talk to me like that before. And so I think it's equally important to know when he's not talking. So especially if you're still learning to hear the voice of the Father, it's very important for us to learn to hear from the Father on our own. I also see a lot of people looking for a word. Like, there's prophetic types out there. I'm all for that. But you can hear from him on your own. Like, he'll talk to you. And what I've found is that sometimes people are telling me what the Lord's saying, and I'm like, that's not what he's saying to me. And actually, I've never heard him say that. And you have your own relationship with him. If you're solely depending on listening to these people who are telling you what the Lord is saying for a word from the Lord, and you're not listening on your own based on your own relationship, then you might find yourself in a case of the blind leading the blind. You get to be in a relationship. You get to hear and talk to the Father. The veil has been torn. Like, you have access. So if you're struggling with, I don't hear from God, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to get into what the Lord's saying to me. See, I'm getting all... But John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I also want you to know that this isn't something that just started happening when I came on staff at a church. It has nothing to do with me being a pastor. It has everything to do that I'm in a relationship with the creator of the universe, and he wants to talk to us. Another thing that Corey would always say is Jesus is looking for friends. Like, he wants to use you. That's kind of why you're here. That's why the Holy Spirit came, right? And so, again, I want to make it clear that it's not about a position. It's not about a title. It's about a relationship. And so I'm convinced that he has things that he wants to say to you that he very well may be saying right now. But we can't hear him sometimes over all the noise. We live in a really noisy time, right? A very noisy time. Like, it's amazingly noisy. And I'm not, just so you know, for those of you who don't know me, no condemnation, right? Like, we're all trying to grow. But like, social media, I got a Facebook, Netflix. Like, I'm not condemning Netflix. I got my shows. Like, I got things I want to watch. I binge watch occasionally. Don't judge me. But the reality is that this is noise. And so all the while, I'm flooding myself with Instagram. I'm flooding myself with YouTube. YouTube's killer. Like, I've kept the same washer and dryer alive for 20 years of marriage because of YouTube. Like, I feel like a real man at my house. And so I'm not preaching against anything. I'm preaching for something. And the reality is that sometimes we have to make a decision to turn off the noise. And what we're going to realize is when it all gets silent, there's this still small voice that's always been talking. He's always been saying, hey, I'm over here. I got something for you. I got an area for you to grow. I got something that I want you to do. I got a person that I want you to love on. So I just want to encourage you to know that he's talking to you. Sometimes we just have to position ourselves in a way to hear him. This is I thought of this when I was writing my notes. It would be similar to this. Like, so something that happens in my house sometimes, my wife, we're sitting on the couch, she'll start talking to me. And you would think, oh, you're a great husband, you're a pastor, you love Jesus, you honor your wife. And she'll start talking to me, and then somebody will text me or send me an email, then I pick my phone up and I just start doing what I do. And she'll quit talking, right? And I realize, oh no, she's not talking anymore. And I'll say, go ahead. And she's like, no, I'll wait. Which is really, you know, it's no good, bro. It's no good. Like, you don't want to ever hear your wife be like, no, go ahead. Or the worst is like, never mind. Oh, like, never in the history of the world will you ever get to know what she was getting ready to say. So, my dad used to say, he was a preacher when I was a kid. He used to always say, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And I didn't really as a kid know, you know, what does that mean? He's going to open doors for you? Oh, maybe. You know, now that we're getting all like prophetic and all, maybe. But what he was trying to say is he's not going to force himself on you. Like, he wants a relationship, but he ain't going to beg. He already died for it. He is wanting you to put down your phone. He's wanting you to put up the newspaper. That's for the older folks. Love y'all. Some people still read newspaper. My wife does. We're on that borderline. Paper, digital. We do both. We are multi-talented people. This is 48. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, guys. Turn off the news. And I'll say that again. Please. Please. Do yourself a favor. Turn off entertainment news. That's all it is. They're just trying to get you riled up. You know what? I don't watch it, and I'm happy. I am happy. So I just want to encourage you in that. It's making you mad, right? It's only getting your blood pressure up. I don't need that already. I take medicine for that already. I don't need anything else to get my blood pressure up. My prayer is that each day I'll become more and more committed to my relationship with Jesus. This is what I want, y'all, for real. Over the years of growing my relationship with him, I found that if your desire is to be in an intimate relationship with him, he will draw near. James, again, 4:8 says, come close to God and he will come close to you. Okay, point number one. Now we're rolling, y'all. So what's the things? There's three things. I'm going to give you three things the Lord's been talking to me about lately. One is this vision that he gave me, a literal, I'm going to call it a vision now because it keeps popping up. When I first came on staff at Hope, I kept getting this vision. Some of you have been in my office, some of you have not been in my office, but my office sits in a weird way. Like if you lean and look out the window, I can see the portico. So I'm like over there looking this way, right? The vision is this. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of people just pushing in to get into this house. They're not coming for me. They're not even coming for you. They're coming for Jesus, right? And I know that it's people who don't look like us. They don't think like us. They don't believe like us. They don't smell like us. They aren't believers. And I'll give you two examples of how this is already happening. I'm going to give you one. Don't cry. I usually cry whenever I start talking about the things that the Lord's doing, but this just happened last week, and so it's fresh, and it's what the Lord's doing, and I want to share it with you. So I have this vision, right? I can see it whenever somebody came in to Guest Connect. I think I told you guys this once before. She came from a tradition that is not Christian, looking for Jesus, right? In this house, the Lord brought her here. So the other day, it's Thursday, so a week ago tomorrow, I'm sitting in Pastor Vicky's office. On Thursdays, we have like this meeting where she and I get together and we plan all the meetings for the next week. So we're doing this and there's two windows in her office. I'm sitting with my back to the wall so I can see out both windows. And I look out this window and I see Pastor Josh sitting right out here under the portico with some dude. And I told this in the family center. So if you guys were in the family center 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry. But everybody gets to hear it. Some people only come to church once every 4 weeks, so you probably missed it. But no condemnation. Everybody's got to go to the lake sometimes. I get it. That was me before I was on staff at church. Like, but now you cannot miss, just so you know. So if you're thinking about coming on staff at a church, Sundays is not a day off, okay? So I look out there and he's out there with a guy. He's sitting with him. I can tell he's praying. You know, he's being Pastor Josh. And I'll say this too. He's exactly who you think he is. Like, the guy that stands up here is the guy that's in that office. But he's loving on this guy. And I'm like, I'm just kind of watching to make sure he's okay. Like, I don't know this guy. And he didn't look like us, right? The Lord said they're coming. And so then I'm kind of doing the meeting and I'm watching Pastor Josh, and all of a sudden Pastor Josh is gone, but the guy's still there. And so then I hear a knock on the door and there's Pastor Josh. He's like, Paul, come here. I want you to meet this guy. So he hands me this guy and he tells me, this is so-and-so. He's looking for Jesus. He's already prayed with him. He's like, well, we need to connect him. I was like, okay. So Pastor Josh takes off. So now I'm with this guy. I could see his demons. We've all had them, right? They're coming at you. I could see that he didn't know who he was. He was struggling. He wanted to find Jesus. You know how he found Hope Church? He Googled churches that are open. And because it said open, he came to Hope. He thought we were getting ready to have service. Like, that's how far we are going to have people who don't look like us. They don't think like us. They don't know that there's not church at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. But it said open. So I pray with him. I talk with him. He leaves. I go back to the office and I kind of settle up with Pastor Josh about the whole deal. And I said, and the Holy Spirit said, that's the first one. Those hundreds that you see pushing at the doors, that was the first one. They're coming. So I want to encourage you. The Lord is doing a work in us. He is preparing us for them. We have to be willing to be Jesus to the woman at the well. We have to be willing to be Jesus to those who are caught in sin. We have to see, there's an old song from when I was a kid. I actually looked up the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it to you. But it's, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. It's Dottie Rambo for those who really can go back. I can go back to Dottie Rambo. All right, y'all know. And we are the Jesus character in this story. He isn't here. His spirit is. You're his hands and feet. You are the Jesus character in the story. You've heard it, the call of Hope Church, our whole life here. If you've been around long enough, you've heard us talk about how we are a church. It's Pastor Gary's vision of who we are. We're a church for the beat up, the broken, the burnout in life, the burnout in church. How are we going to be Jesus to them? Will you see beyond their fault? Because they're coming. They've already started. They might be in this room right now. I love you if you are. I love you. Like, Jesus loves you. You are part of the solution. He has you here to be the fullest expression of who you are, to help church, Hope Church become the fullest expression of who we're called to be. That was point one. Point two, the enemy wants to try and stop you. So this is something that I could go into lots of details about what I've experienced as I've been on staff at Hope, but I'm gonna sum it up really quick. Because I don't like to make a big deal of what the enemy's up to, right? But the Bible does say, it says it in 2 Corinthians, we should be aware of the methods of our enemy. I want to read the Message version of that, 2 Corinthians 2:9 through 11, because I think it's beautiful and it actually makes it a broader statement about the body. The focus of my letter wasn't on punishing the offender, but on getting you to take responsibility for the health of the church. Come on. Somebody can say, come on now. Like, that's a come on. So if you forgive him, I forgive him. Don't think I'm carrying around a list of personal grudges. The fact is that I'm joining in with your forgiveness as Christ is with us, guiding us. After all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. Guys, number two, what I've learned, and I love you guys. I hope you know that. And sometimes I might say hard things. I'm Paul. Like, that's, if you know me at all, you know that. The Lord's been teaching me to shut up, though, right? So there's this balance of saying the hard thing and not saying anything. And I just want to get real for a second. I want you to know that, honestly, God has filled me with such a love for this body. And he did it before I was on staff. I started feeling this shift. Like, oh my gosh, I love these people. I actually love you. I have to tell you that the enemy, the number one thing I've seen him do since I've been on staff at Hope, his number one weapon is offense. He wants us to get offended. If we're offended, we haven't forgiven. If we haven't forgiven, I mean, the Bible says that if you haven't forgiven, that he can't forgive you. That's actually Matthew 6:15. You can look it up. It's not in my notes up there. Offense is like a cancer. It'll spread throughout our heart and our mind. It reminds me of this, when I had a dream. I'm not going to tell you the dream, but I'm going to tell you the research, because, you know, after I have a dream, I typically Google everything from the dream, because Google is like the number one prophetic tool in America and the world. And so I looked it up, and there is this disease that killed almost 90% of the Tasmanian devil population, and it's this facial cancer that they get, and it's actually contagious by the touch. That is what offense is to the body of Christ. It is a cancer that spreads every time you open your mouth. The enemy wants us to destroy ourselves. It will keep us from being able to become everything we were created to be. If I have a purpose in life, whether I'm on staff at Hope or just working as a district manager of a retail chain, my purpose in life is to help you know that He made you with plans. He has plans and intentions for you. And as long as you're breathing, He's not done. Yeah. Offense is the enemy of love. Jesus was not offended by sinners. He saw to the heart of who they were. Like I said last week, Mark 2:15, this hit me. When I read this, it hit me in a really good way. And it's Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. And then in parentheses, it says, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Sinners wanted to be around him. He didn't push them away. He didn't create this little circle of people that only believed what he believed. We have to be ready for the ones who are coming that don't look like us, that don't think like us. The enemy, well, I want to encourage you to do like I do my own children. Before you say anything, ask yourself if you could hear Jesus saying that. Like, the Lord took me through this journey personally. A journey that sometimes I would open my mouth and he would say, that doesn't sound like me. Like, don't. You know, Jesus could only say what he heard the Father saying. He could only do what he saw the Father doing. I know you've heard me say this, but what if we did that? What if we just said what we heard Jesus say? I think we would say a lot less about things that don't matter. Before you do something, ask yourself, is this something I can see him doing? Before you post, go straight WWJP. What would Jesus post, right? That's a new bracelet. I got them on order. Not really. The enemy will get us all twisted up in our offense, and somehow we are convinced that people are the enemy, and we forget that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Like, and I had to work through this myself, y'all. Like, I come on staff at the church, and I want to get mad at everybody. I'm like, why are you talking to me like that? No, I wrestle not against flesh and blood. It ain't you. It's the devil. And so he's taught me, I've realized that really to get the work done of the Lord, you kind of got to be unoffendable. I think that that's probably a good way to be. A pro tip, humility. Like I'm learning this still. Like and my wife would tell you like 10 years ago, oh, I'm sure I was a nightmare to be around. But I've learned that humility, no one can be offended by humility. The enemy will get you all twisted up in your offense. Somehow we're convinced that people are the enemy, and we forget that we're wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, it's funny. It's like people might say, you know, I can't believe Pastor Paul walked past me and didn't say anything. And y'all don't know, I just need to go to the bathroom. Like, I love you, but I'm about to pee my pants, right? So it has nothing to do with you, right? It's just I have a small bladder. And so If you just take a second and think to yourself, maybe I'm just a little too sensitive. I did it. I had to. I'm pretty sensitive still. I'm working this out at home. I'm like, why are my kids talking to me like this? Getting my feelings hurt, going back to the bedroom and crying. Yeah, it's sad, guys. I'm going to pray on that first, because I'm getting out of time, so I'm going to pray while I teach, okay? Because I was going to do this big prayer at the end. They want those kids picked up at 8:00. I know this. I've been given instructions. Not really, but I know that I will hear about it tomorrow. So anyway, so I'm going to pray on that real quick. So I want you to just, for a minute, God, I pray for humility. God, I pray that we can become unoffendable, that we will stop and we will see people correctly, that we will see them with your eyes, that we will see them with your heart, that when they don't act in a way that we don't like, maybe we're the problem. Let's just start there. I'm learning that I may be the problem. God, I want your heart. We cannot reach those who are coming if we don't see them like you see them. We cannot reach those who are coming if we can't get over our offense. I pray that you bring peace to our minds and peace to our hearts, that the fruit of the Spirit would just grow, orchards and orchards of the fruit of the Spirit would grow in and out of us, so that people that are disreputable sinners can't help themselves but want to be around us. Point three, God wants to use you where you are with what you have. The worship team can come back up. We got a little time. Love on Jesus a little bit longer. When I talk about the vision of people coming and pushing the doors down, people who don't look like us, they don't believe like us, they don't act like us, sometimes that might be a good thing, actually. It's embarrassing to say, but it's embarrassing to say that sometimes I don't want to act like the church. If we're not acting like Jesus, I'm out. And this isn't about you guys. This is what the Lord's telling me. I want to remind you this. This is what the Lord's telling me. If it resonates, go for it. If it doesn't, toss it out. I'm just sharing you what he's telling me about me. And if I want to make the impact in this kingdom on behalf of the kingdom, this is what I have to do. He wants to use you. As I mentioned before, God has you here for a purpose. I believe that I've met almost all of you through Hope Intro. If you've been through Hope Intro, we have seen each other. We have talked. I've heard your heart for a lot of you. I want to tell you too, if you're old to Hope, if you've been going here longer than 5 years and you haven't done Hope Intro, I would invite you to come. I would love to hang out with you, get to know you, help connect you, help you find out who you are in this place and why the Lord has you here. Because I am learning that he is bringing in people that carry things that are going to help us become the fullest expression of Hope Church. He wants us growing. He wants us mature. Growing and maturing isn't always comfortable. And I'll leave you with this. We're going to skip a lot of this. So last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't really have rough weeks. I have rough moments. But sometimes rough moments turn into rough days, turn into rough weeks. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean everything's rosy. I knew this already, but I want you to know this. Like, life is life, and we have to learn to spend time with the Father. So I'm having one of those weeks, right? I'm just like, oh my goodness, like I'm feeling heavy. This is weird. Like, I'm not used to this. I am a glass overflowing kind of guy. If you're half full, I got a little bit more in mind. I'm just super positive, but I wasn't feeling it. And I was processing with my buddy Andy back there. He's like, how you doing? I'm like, I don't know, bro. Like, you can go ahead and start playing. Sorry. I never get to speak with music playing behind me. I want to see what it feels like. Like, isn't that what preachers get to do? Like, play some music. I was talking to my wife, and I talked to Andy, and I'm a verbal processor if you haven't figured this out. And I'm talking to him about like all the stuff the Lord's saying. Like I said, I love to do this. And I'm saying, man, you know what? Like I feel like an alien movie where there's like an alien in me, and I feel it like my skin just getting stretched, and I can see the hands and the stretching out of my body. And in that moment, when I was talking to Andy, the Holy Spirit said, you're not depressed. I'm just trying to get comfortable in your skin. The reality is that he wants to get comfortable in your skin. He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your feet. He wants to use your mouth. Sometimes he has to stretch you so he can get comfortable in there, so he can slide your hands on. He's putting them on like gloves. He can put his feet in your feet, wiggle your toes. He's trying to get comfortable in your skin because he wants to use you. The enemy is going to try to stop you because he's going to try to get you offended. There's people coming, and you are here to be Jesus to them. Stand up with me. I'm just going to pray about these things for a couple of minutes, four to be exact, three and a half. And I just want you to close your eyes. You don't have to. I don't really care what you do. However you talk to Jesus, do that. But I'm going to pray these things for you. Let's just start praying. God, I pray for everyone in this place, no matter where they're at on their journey and their relationship with you, that it gets a little more intimate. That they lay out the blanket, they light the candles, and they just spend some time in your presence. Intimacy with you is what we desire. God, I pray that as we draw closer to you, that we will recognize what's not your voice. We will recognize your voice, but we will recognize what's not your voice. When the enemy tries to bring offense, tries to get in our mind, that we'll remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but greater who's in me than he that's in the world. God, I pray that we become unoffendable. They're coming. God, they may not look like us. They may not believe like us. They may not think like us, but you're drawing them to you. I don't want to do anything to push people away from you. I pray that even now a peace and a humility would come into our hearts so that we can always respond just like you. And I'm going to ask you, some of you guys might not want to agree with this, but I'm going to ask that you would just stretch us. Come inside of us and get comfortable in our skin. Use our hands. Use our heart. Use our lips to be you. I pray that we are great at being the Jesus character in someone else's story. Use our hands. In Jesus' name.